Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I am so glad you're here. Welcome to this edition, this special extra podcast this week. I was really inspired this weekend to go and write after kind of sitting with some of these thoughts that we've been going through while we're going through the book of Romans. And man, I really got to this place where I felt like we needed something in between the chapters. And so this is what you're going to get. It's a little bit of a free-flowing stream of consciousness that's barely edited. I hope it makes sense. I hope my heart, what I perceive, comes through so that it can help you, can serve you. And I hope that it comes across in a way that isn't tribal, isn't feeling exclusive, isn't kind of funneling into the common pathways that we've always heard. I just feel like so many of you have shared your stories with me, and I just love hearing them. And as we are leaving these institutions that have had control of our life, we're always asking these questions. So, you know, what part of all of that was the real part? And this is the real part. You know, this whole ministry that I do, this podcast, these posts, it's all about helping sojourners like yourself entirely for free to reconnect to your maker in a way that is comfortable, safe, healthy, productive. It's not one where we've thrown out the Bible. As you can see, we study it extensively because the Bible actually has more alignment with those who are being called out than it does with those who stay in. And anyhow, this whole journey that we're on, this shared path of questions and answers and self-criticism, is so important. And it's such a beautiful part of discovering who we really are. And that was the nature of the subject. So today I just call this podcast The Annihilation of the Self. And I suppose it's podcast number 446. It's a little break in between our series on the Rome, but it, you know, it's here to serve. I hope you'll take a listen. So, like I said, I really hope this finds good soil within you. It is a free-flowing stream of consciousness that I think is going to really fill in the gaps between chapter 9 and chapter 10 of Romans. And last week, I riffed about the true self. It's not an uncommon riff in this. In fact, almost everything I talk about, if you go all the way back to the very beginning, is this self. The term for that is ontology, right? Our center of our being, our existence, our true self, right? And I was talking about that last week, about how it just seems like everybody's talking about it, but no one's really got it. And I was very much kind of, everything is so false, it's so fake. And I just kind of reflecting on that thought, well, maybe that sounds like, well, I have it and you don't. And I didn't want that to kind of come across that way. And so, you know, despite each of us having a self, it's really challenging to discover what is true about us. Like, if we look around, we have gurus and life coaches and activists, and they're all talking about finding our true self and our being, or how to be who you truly are. And self-help books and therapists and lifestyle designers, they make livings on helping us to find our true self. And I just look around at all, and everybody's saying something similar. They're saying, hey, I'll get you there. And I claimed it's all fiction because in my framework, it really is. I've tried it all, and none of them got me there. What our world calls true seems to actually be false, right? We live in a self-delusion. That's my conclusion, okay? most of us grow up deluded about who we really are. We take on some malware script, some belief about ourselves that isn't right, and we just go off to the races. It's kind of the watershed that defines a trajectory for our life, and a lot of times you have to undo that in your 30s, 40s, 50s when you're asking these deep existential questions and everything else failed you. But people all around us are self-defining, they're self-asserting, they're creating the character they want to play in life. But it's all Pinocchio. We're trying to be real. And I guess there's a sense where we are, in a sense where we're so far off the mark, it's not even funny. And the ironic thing here is that because we can all perceive the need to be real, it points us to something very, very deep that is spiritual. Like, this is part of our spiritual composition. And, you know, apologies to you if this comes off priggish, right? Am I presupposing that I somehow am a very true self while I deconstruct every other person's ontological house of cards? You know, I hope you know that behind this post is not a man who has fully arrived, just one who's exited this superhighway toward a wasted life and is now kind of flagging people off onto this narrow single track of authenticity. Right? It's not like I'm there totally. It's just like, oh, I see now the where the masses are going isn't taking us there. And I can see the horizon line that gets us there. It's like I know that island is right over that horizon. And I'm just pointing people there. I'm trying to let us go together in this journey. And in one sense, I'm not there yet, while in another sense, there's no place I've ever existed, and neither have you. See, this is, if that statement just missed you, like, huh? What did he say? I don't get that. Like, this is going to be hard. You know, we've been going through 22 weeks of Romans where I've been saying almost every week, we have to get out of these binary frameworks because we can't understand the depth and the beauty of what Paul is saying. And spiritual reality is not found in binaries generally. It's found in the ternary frameworks where everything converges into a higher, more transcendent, beautiful, integrated whole. Two opposing truth claims resolve themselves into a higher perspective. If you don't believe that's true, you know, one side of the earth says it's nighttime, the other side says it's daytime. They both appeal to science and they argue and fight forever until somebody pulls back far enough to see the world in its real context, and all of a sudden you realize that both the nighttime and the daytime claims are both true at the same time. That's a transcendent view, a third way, and you're in this boat with me. Everyone else is too. See, each of us is at a different location along the way, but we're all somewhere in this journey, and I think we get that. I think our society kind of sees that. Some of us are certainly more open and patient towards those on the journey, and others are not. We're tribal, and if you're not exactly like me exactly now, then I don't like you, and I can't like you. I can't associate with you. You're worse. You're deficient. You're broken. You're wrong. You're bad. You're dark. You're evil. Whatever it is. And some of us are just consumed with this proud certainty of who they truly are. Right? You got all the Instagram people and their selfies and their self-promotion and all the stuff going around assembling the Play-Doh of life into the best version and image of themselves that they can concoct. And if I can only have that, if I could just get that, I'm striving to obtain my next thing. And everybody who has claimed to get it is the success trying to get you to buy their program, their widget, their recipe for how you can have it too. Meanwhile, a third of our population is on antidepressant meds because they feel like they can't measure up. They don't realize that this Facebook Instagram, TikTok culture is only showing the good stuff most of the time. And the treadmill and hustle and attainment culture that we live in, it constructs what seems like very real and enduring things, but it doesn't always. And in the end, we have to face this thing, which I said in my post last week, that biology ultimately becomes geology. So, you know, if you look at the world, you've got a couple of different competing strategies for finding our true self, right? You can do the hustle culture. You can attain as if you can find yourself by addition. But then you also have those who are lying flat, like in China, right? We have a new generation that's embraced this alternative delusion of themselves. And they see through some of the fictional world of egoic pursuits. They figure opting out of attainment means that they're somehow more authentic than the sellouts on the assembly line. All right, so we have these non-contributors, non-starters, failure to launchers. You know, and the ideology of, you know, trading one's doing for being, right? I don't want to sit there and just be a machine and a cog for the man or the economic engine of capitalism. I'm going to focus more on who I am, right? That's the ideology, and it has merit, but the way it's being currently applied by just opting out of life and being apathetic and entertained on social media or swiping or video games or numbing yourself with antidepressants or anything else that you can get and your hands on. It's just a current application is really, it's more prideful than the Gordon Gekko rule book that they're trying to, you know, argue against. You see, not only is your Cheeto fingers on the couch totally self-absorbed, to not take part in a society and contribute to the lives of others who have and are sustaining your life and being. Meaning, like, the fact that you have your Cheeto fingers and the electricity to play your video games and the comfort of your life, even though you won't go out and serve others, is there because others are serving you. It's like you think of yourself as an island unto yourself. We're all differentiated from everybody else, and not, we've forsaken the fact that we're an integrated whole. And so that approach is actually really self-absorbed. It's not how you're going to find yourself. See, it's to not take part and contribute is worse because these other people have been sustaining your life. In the exorcism of one ideological demon, that of materialism or capitalism, might be okay, but when you get rid of that demon, it brings seven others, which dilute a sense of self, ironically, with identity politics. Right? So now the new self is conflated with one's sexuality. Oh, you think you are your sexual preference. You think you are your weight. You think you are your race or your gender, however many genders you believe there are. You think you are your religion. And this is all just another pseudonym, another fake ID. Just add it to the one you sought to avoid. So, like, this whole approach of checking out didn't get us any further than those who have hustled and leveled up and worked hard to try and find who they are through attainment. Subtraction was no more effective than addition. And if you're sitting there listening to this saying, yeah, I agree with you, Kevin, but, you know, the religious people, they seem to have it. Let me just make this point. Religion, you're not exempt. Religion can keep us from these two illusions, perhaps, but it will press us into a mold, not of a false self, but the religious false self. See, we're told that we're real so long as we follow the code of conduct, the good book, and we end up looking down on others. How many churches and religions of every kind, every shape, adopt a form of pride? like they're just a little bit better than everybody else. And it's embedded in the religious false self. This proves that Jesus was right when he said to the religious person, you travel across the sea and land to make a single proselyte, a convert. And when he or she becomes a convert, you make him or her twice as much a child of hell as yourself. You see, we don't get it with religion. We don't get it with hustle. We don't get it with abdication. And that's kind of the direction of our world. Those are the big buckets that all we're trying to do. Like, if you go find a life coach, I'm going to help you find yourself. The reason you haven't found yourself is you don't have enough effort and output. Let me help you with discipline, and let me hold you accountable. And if you pay me enough money, I can show you how you can level up your life. The others are like, no, that's all fake. Don't pursue it. Just be yourself. Go on a vacation. Rack up your credit card. Sit on the beach. Have a Mai Tai. Just be with your friends. You know, whatever. No, no, and no. Paul's gospel, as we've been learning, annihilates the self. Jesus' gospel does too, but not in some distorted, suicidal ethos. You don't know my pain, right? It's not that. It's not goth. The annihilation comes by kenosis. It's self-emptying. It's the giving away of the self so completely that there's no self left to give. It's not asserting oneself in an ideal which is limited in many spiritual mantras. I mean, all of the religions kind of imitate this at some point about serving others. But Christ is the greatest historical icon of it. There is no better, no clearer picture of it. And we're told that we can possess his mindset on this. This is Paul's message to us. You've got to be kidding, Paul. To the church in the Philippians, he said, have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, there's that word kenosis, by taking the form of a servant. It's a bondservant, a doulos, a slave, being born in the likeness of men. So here's the king of the world, the creator of the universe, going to the bottom, not asserting himself at the top. Like, have that mind about yourself. Have the mind of giving everything that you are and think you are or could be away for the sake of someone else. And then see if you, what's left. See, the thing that you thought you had isn't going to exist. That's the whole point. And what else is there? Well, that's the discovery. That's where self-criticism rolls into all of this. And if it's true that our surface level self is actually fiction, which I claim it is, we can follow in these footsteps and test the results of divesting ourselves for others. I mean, the false self is annihilated by giving it away. To give us this direction, we have to give up this falsehood. We're given this gift of a sinful humanity. Like, we don't understand that, but this is Paul's teaching. Like, yes, you are a spirit, but not a disembodied spirit. You're an embodied spirit who is under the law of the flesh. Like, this helps us give up our fakeness. By having a sinful humanity, which humiliates that part of us which thinks we become real by addition rather than subtraction or some other way. Like, on both sides of the equation, you're not getting out of your pride, your disorientation, your pseudonym, your impulses, your appetites. None of which are good gauges for life. It's a gift. You don't think of it that way. Of course we struggle with it. That's the beauty. And some of you are going to not understand what I'm about to say, and if you don't, just put it on a shelf and just keep pace with me. Don't lose your direction here. But whether our sins are tiny, like the sins of lying or murder or sexual immorality, or whether our sins are big, like pride, austerity, and the want for God, they are painful, irrevocably besetting thorns, and they're beautifully necessary to bring the us we think we are to the vanishing point where God graces us with our true name, where self-discovery converges with the discovery of God. Like, if you understand that, you are home. Like, this is the one place you're going to be fed. This Jesus said, feed my sheep. That's why I call myself an online pastor. Right? I feed you this truth. And if it resonates, this is one of the few places you're going to come to get it. It's our unwillingness to surrender the self we think we are, which makes us fake. Does that make sense to you? Like, we must get to the end of our eminence front, as The Who likes to sing. It's all just a put on. And so long as our pseudonym, our what we think we are, our McLovin, is all we have, then nothing of us actually remains if that part is lost. Like, we've put all our eggs in the McLovin basket. So, man, we're over-identified. We're way over-defended on that. And, man, if you lost it, which you're afraid of, you're going to lose everything. You won't even know who you are. This is the true existential point of life where the big questions emerge. Maybe you haven't got there yet. You're too young, or you're too over-identified with all the institutions that have given you a life and a name. But the gospel is this thing that pulls you out and forces these into you. And it's not that you're asking those questions because you're pain and you fell behind and you lost ground. It's because you are treasured and loved and brought through it, so that you could see it and it'd be obvious. We exist in our own prison of self-creation. That's the prison, the one you create for yourself. Creed was right. It's never venturing to the desert, to that true self-discovery that's awaiting out there in your exile. And of course, anything that challenges our false identity, it threatens us to the core. So we get our claws out. We get so offended. We get so defended, right? Because we can't believe, we don't believe there's anything better for us. All we have is this self-illusion that we have. But there is something better. It's way better. And if I can offer anything to my fellow journeymen in life, it's this: whatever you must do to come to the end of yourself, do it. Now, again, this is not some suicidal pact. Like, if you're thinking of self-harm, you have missed what I've said. I don't want that for you. What I'm saying is, get over yourself. Can you get to the end of yourself by getting over all of the Plato life that you've put together and pushed through the machine to make its little colorful squiggles and whatnot? The end of our so-called self is not the false pride of self-deprecating surface-level gestures, right? You see these people and they talk so, oh, I'm so bad. No, I'm not very good. And it's just, you know, it's false because they're actually really good people and they kind of know it, but they just, it's always self-deprecating like that. And I am guilty of that. I have a very self-deprecating kind of humor. It's also not the self-flagellating harm or hatred of the self that we perceive ourselves to be. It's like, some of us have been beaten down with this sin stick so hard that you feel like God only is happy if you're beating yourself with whips and chains and, you know, scourging yourself for your badness, your naughtiness that you can't seem to get around. That's not it either. You'll never get to the end of yourself that way. The end comes, the annihilation comes as we find the faith that somehow knows that at the end of this charade, we're going to find our true self who has always existed in the perfect wisdom and mind of God. There's no place you've never been other than that. The real you has always existed in God. You didn't show up on the scene 10, 20, 30, 50 years ago, 80 years ago. That would mean that God wasn't omniscient. And God is. And so you've always existed in God's perfect wisdom and knowledge and mind. And He has a name for you. And that's where we find our name. That's the one that was given to us before time existed. It's the name permanently inscribed in the book of life. It's the one that can never be taken from you, never to be forgotten by God our Maker, which is none other than beloved. So how do we get there? Man, I'll tell you, if the gurus and life coaches and people were right, well, you just effort and output, man. Or get the right religion or else you're screwed. Or it's, you know, uncheck out from everything else. And none of them get us there. But what does? It's not religion. It's not irreligion. It's this. And the only way I can say it is to say by identifying with Christ. Well, if you don't know much about it, I understand. This isn't a ploy to the Christian religion. The last thing, if you've listened to any podcast I've ever done, is I'm not going to invite you into the Christian religion because it should never have existed. This isn't about religion. This is about faith. Identifying with the Christ, which is done simply by noticing that this life, Christ's life, is replaying itself. What do you mean by that, Kev? Well, Christ came and His family rejected Him. His friends betrayed Him. Any of those experiences sound familiar to you? He was marginalized. He was chased out of His temple. He was chased out of town. He was, you know, sought after. Some people truly liked Him. Others despised Him. His religion rejected Him. Its decline and marginalization. Anybody else feel that way? Eventually, He was killed by church and state, so to speak, conspiring together to eradicate Him. And so that you have this Christiform pattern of decline and marginalization and being forgotten and overlooked and pitied and you know, stepped on and beaten and abused and rejected and killed and then renewed. And so that life, that pattern is retelling itself in your life. Yes, you. I know you call yourself an atheist, an agnostic, or you don't know what the heck to call yourself. That's fine. Nobody gets this. Each of our lives bears this Christological aspect so that none of us can go through life and miss God. Oh, we can suppress God. We can't miss it. And our suffering points the way. Because if God so loved His own Son and put Him through that grid of tremendous suffering, how amazing is it when we identify with the suffering Christ? We receive that. It's been said that God cannot exist unless He gives away that existence. And for us to exist, we have to receive that existence. And so in this sense, the true existence, our true self is the existence of God uniquely on display as our life, as your Cheeto-fingered life, purposeful and necessary for you and me to germinate and give ourselves away to a world who needs it. We're going to have to get off that couch and turn off the console. How? Faith is how. Faith is the means. It's not faith in religion. It's not faith in some practice, some guru. You know, don't listen to me. I'm not the guy. I just try and give you the message as much as I can. Don't have faith in anything. The system isn't going to save you. Your sport isn't going to save you. Your job, your peer group, your politics, none of that is there for you. I'm sorry, your government isn't there to save you. It's not faith in anything but this Christ who has called us out of our dark deception and into his marvelous light. That's it. Faith is how we descend. Oh, did you think we were going up? The crystal form pattern means we're all going down. And it doesn't matter if you want to or not, you will. But when you do go down, if you've over-identified with your false self, the hitting the bottom, you have nothing left. You don't know who you are. It's a terrible crisis. Trust me, you don't want to go there. It's better to just give that up now. Get over yourself. Give yourself away. Faith is how we descend. It's how we die. It's how we're annihilated. It's how we bear our cross, which takes us to that annihilation point, that vanishing point where we end and God begins. And God begins in us, in your life. He's already there on the decline. But like, you can identify with the decline because you feel the suffering. But can you believe enough to identify with the renewal, the new life, the resurrected part? That resurrected part is the real you that God has always known and whose name cannot be forgotten. I know this is a lot. Let me just close by reading you how Jesus put this out of Matthew 16, 24 through 26. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake is going to find it. And what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Truer words were never spoken, and I hope that God blesses you as you contemplate these things.